Blog Talk Radio.
Regal Poet Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Regal Poet Radio Show. We are the conduit for the poet and entrepreneur, and we're committed to bringing you the best in weekly tips, best practices, and information from leaders in the industry so that you can have a Regal Arts business. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and I am so pleased to share lunch with you and excited about this topic we're about to dive into today. We are talking about your soft power and how you can become a cultural diplomat, especially as an artist. We have that power. To assist us with this conversation, we share the line with the Institute of Cultural Diplomacy's Mark Donfried. The Institute of Cultural Diplomacy, or ICD for short, their major objective is to extend current research programs and practices in the field of cultural diplomacy. And so they've created a platform to promote and sustain intercultural dialogue at all levels. They also actively encourage and support cultural diplomacy as an academic discipline. So we'll go ahead and bring Mr. Donfried on the line with us and so that he can speak to us more about what it is to be a cultural diplomat. So as we welcome Mr. Donfried on the show with us, I just want to cover what the ICD has been able to do over the past decade. They've grown to become one of Europe's largest independent cultural exchange organization, hosting programs that facilitate interaction amongst individuals of all cultural, academic, and professional backgrounds from across the globe. They are based out of the multicultural Berlin, Germany. ICD serves the globe with innovative programs and initiatives that actually highlight and strengthen cultural differences in a way that can impact and make major positive change. So he gets to talk to us about, as artists, our voice, our power, and when it comes to impacting culture and how we can actually engage in other cultures. Now, before we get into that, let's go ahead and highlight an artist that we have been following. This artist actually is going to be part of 100,000 Poets and Musicians for Change, and that will be on September 26, 2015 at 8:30 p.m. at the famed Cinema Paradiso. Regal Poet is actually actively involved in that, so we are so pleased to be able to be a part and also put out some great, great artists. Jadon Blackamore is who we're going to hear from. He is a Grammy-nominated artist, reggae artist, and has done some major work. He actually will be on the show with us next week to tell us a little bit more about change and what it is to be an artist entrepreneur. So let's go ahead and bring on Jadon Blackamore's All Comes Back to One. Enjoy. So that was a little bit from Jadon Blackamore, and you are listening to the Regal Poet Radio Show, and we are talking about embracing your soft power with ICD founder Mark Donfried. We're going to go ahead and put him on the line with us so that we can get right into the topic. Let's see if we have him with us. Mr. Donfried, are you on?
I'm there. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you could be with us today and to be talking to us about soft power and, of course, the whole Institute of Cultural Diplomacy. How is it in Berlin right now? 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock here, and we actually have gray skies. Normally, the best time of the year in Berlin is the summer, and as September begins, we're starting to get some reminders. So you have to send some sunshine to us from the other side of the ocean.
I'll do my best.
Excellent.
All right, Mr. Donfried, I can't wait to talk about this. This is definitely something that I personally have been engaging in, and it's a topic that I truly, truly am passionate about, which is culture diplomacy. So tell us about the Institute of Culture Diplomacy and what is your role with ICD?
Sure. No, the main interest of us as an organization is to build trust between people. As we look at the world today, whether it's different countries, different cultures, different religions, one of the main challenges that we see is that in so many cases, we don't speak to each other, so there's no dialogue. In many cases, there's no understanding. We may speak to each other, but we don't understand each other. And in really rare cases, do you really have trust? And that's for us what culture diplomacy is about. We don't have to agree. We don't even have to be friends, although it's better if we are. But we do need to have that trust. Mm-hmm. And then we can work together. Then we can do business together. Then we can make peace treaties together. Then we can work on climate change together. That's the essence. So, to put it simply, I would say culture diplomacy today is really about building trust between groups, let's say locally, nationally, as well as internationally. And our work is essentially threefold. We're doing research, trying to figure out how we do today. How do you build trust? How do you actually conduct culture diplomacy? Looking at the historical examples and also contemporary examples. Secondly, education is one of the main parts of our work, where we actually have 25 degree programs that we offer with European universities as well as an American university, BA, MA, MBA, and PhD degrees. These are actually the only degrees in the world in the field. So we actually created this academic field and are really promoting it. And then thirdly, we actually try to implement culture diplomacy by doing conferences, exchange programs, events, all sorts of initiatives, both cultural initiatives as well as academic initiatives all across the world. So that's the brief summary.
A mouthful, though, but awesome work. You guys are doing some amazing things over in Berlin. And here, which university is it in the States?
Touro College, based in New York.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, how is being a cultural diplomat different from being an ambassador or an educational attaché, as we've heard before, for instance?
Good question. Cultural diplomacy traditionally was always defined as you mentioned earlier, soft power, meaning something coming from the government, something that was linked to policy. So traditionally speaking, cultural diplomacy was the job of governments. As you said, you'd have the public diplomacy department, you'd have an embassy, you'd have a cultural attaché. It was funded by the government with the clear goal in the American case, they would always say, to win the hearts and minds of foreign audiences, or to attract, or to persuade. And in the time period of the Cold War, that was really what it was about. You know, in that time, really, the Americans and the Soviets were both, in a variety of ways, trying to convince, trying to attract, that one entire way of life was somehow more attractive than another. And Professor Joseph Nye at Harvard University, who actually coined the term soft power, he argued that actually the fall of the Berlin Wall and actually the end of the Cold War was a success of what he calls smart power. This combination of hard and soft power. And in the end, he always points out, you know, it wasn't rockets or torpedoes or bombs that brought the Berlin Wall down, but it was private individuals with hammers and chisels. They wanted to get to the other side of that wall. They themselves brought that wall down. And that would be what he would say is really a success of smart power. Yes, this threat of mass destruction, dropping the bomb on either side, was of course there and played a big role, but it was really the rock and roll, the jazz, and actually the cultural aspects that really also had that pulling power that in the end, in some cases of her testaments, impacted individuals more than even the politics at the time. So that stands to your question, classical culture diplomacy for us. Today, however, it's much more complex, but also much more interesting. You were talking in your introductory comments about the power of an individual artist, the power of music, the power of art. We see a huge potential there. And sometimes those initiatives, which are not governmental initiatives, but maybe civil society initiatives or private sector initiatives, can even be more effective. And I've seen many examples of that, where you can have a graffiti artist doing his work illegally, having a much greater impact than an official state-sponsored, you know, initiative with millions of euros or dollars. So that would be, I guess, for me, the main two schools of culture diplomacy. This more classical form, which was traditionally governments, whereas today it's artists, it's teachers, it's citizens, it's volunteers, it's, you know, companies, it's much more diverse. And to summarize, the goal today, as I said, should be, in our opinion, to build understanding and trust. So propaganda, persuasion, we suggest leave it. There's really no need. That's not going to help a global situation. But building trust, that will contribute. So So that would be the main two forms of culture diplomacy we'd see.
Okay. And the soft power is really something that, as I have been researching ICD even more, that I was mostly exposed to it. It's not a term that is used quite often. And I treaded lightly on how to use it because it could be seen as something negative. Is that something that you've experienced?
No, soft power can be good and it can be bad. Culture diplomacy as well, mm-hmm. good or bad. It depends who's doing it and what is the goal. I'll give you a simple definition. Joseph Nye would say soft power is the ability to get what you want by attraction. Hard power is the ability to get what you want by coercion. And I'll give you a simple example. If I have a gun, I can use that gun in the hard power sense of the word to kill you and take your wallet if I wanted. That would be hard power. I can also take that gun and put it on the table and just leave it there in front as you and I are talking. And I can ask you, can I please have your wallet or can I please have 20 euro? Even though I'm not using the gun, the threat of hard power is just as powerful. That's what happened mm-hmm. in the Cold War. Luckily, no one dropped the bomb, but it was the threat of the Soviets or the Americans dropping the bomb. That threat of hard power was just as strong. Soft power is really, let's say, we get to know each other as friends or partners, etc., and really through that understanding and trust over time, you then decide you want to do something because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. But to give you another example, soft power can be very destructive. Joseph Nye also says Osama bin Laden was actually an expert of soft power. Bin Laden didn't pay anyone to fly into the World Trade Center. He didn't scare them into flying into the World Trade Center. He attracted them to Bin Laden's interpretation of quote-unquote religion, and that was actually Bin Laden's soft power. So therefore, to answer your question, soft power is not always good. It really depends who's doing it, what are the purposes. Of course, I think it's preferable to hard power, and in the end, soft power, in essence, tends to be constructive, whereas hard power is, by definition, destructive. So compared to hard power, yes, it's preferable. However, it can be very dangerous, and it really depends who's doing it for what purposes.
Now, I decided to really reach out to ICD and have you on the show to speak to the community of artist entrepreneurs that we deal with, because over the years, as I've traveled across the globe, I've noticed that, because I speak Creole, and some of my poetry is in that language, but they're really... At first, I was nervous about speaking it and doing the poems, thinking, oh, well, these people don't know this language, so they're not going to engage, only to find out that that poem about Haiti has been one of my most, it's like a signature piece for me, and I get, if people are very engaged, they ask me questions, they have more insight of a country, and some countries they've never even heard of Haiti. So I wanted to emphasize to artists, okay, this is something that you should definitely get engaged in, soft power, cultural diplomacy, so that we can break barriers and we can get that trust that a lot of artists are kind of looking for. What kind of gave you that foresight to include them? Because you have programming, and you can talk about that here as well. You have programming where artists can go ahead and get engaged. How can they do that?
Definitely. Well, no, I think they're one of the biggest problems as you look at the world today in terms of what governments can do is you have sort of a distrust of politics. Look at the Arab Spring, Tunisia, look at Egypt, look at China, look at, all around the world. You're seeing many movements around the world where people are actually fed up with governments for lots of reasons. And I would go so far as to say this is a trend, where I think it's very difficult today for governments to do initiatives that they did before. And I also would argue, maybe they're not the best suited. So definitely, I don't want governments to say, okay, there's no need for us to do cultural diplomacy now. That's not the message I'm trying to give. But the potential I'm trying to underline is for the citizens and for the artists. Very often has much more legitimacy. If I come to someone in Afghanistan, for example, as an American citizen, and I have a business card of the U.S. Embassy, it's going to be difficult for me to build trust. For many Afghans, they have a very clear image of America, and they have a very clear experience with America, like, let's say, looking at policies we've had for the last 10, 12 years and beyond. Whereas if I go there as a rapper, or as I go there as a high school teacher or as a firefighter volunteer, it's very different. And I think it's going to be easier for me to build trust. It's going to be easier for me to be accepted because I don't have the burden necessarily of this governmental identity on my shoulders. So therefore, depending on the case, I think sometimes it's even easier for citizens, no matter which walk of life they have, to actually be accepted in foreign groups for many reasons, and especially if you have a conflict. Let's look at Israel and Palestine. How difficult would it be for an Israeli governmental member to build trust and friendships in Palestine? Much easier for an artist or for, you know, a skateboard, you know, or who knows. So in that sense, that's the one aspect where I think artists and citizens have a big potential. The second aspect, I think it's very challenging to communicate the identity of a person or the identity of a country in general. And I think their artists have a very natural talent and gift to do so. Sometimes a song can be much more powerful, of course, than a speech. Sometimes a piece of art can communicate in ways, again, much more powerful than a speech. And I think that's where, again, to get a full picture of a country or an identity, it's necessary to include the artists. And I think there it's a big responsibility. And if you have the case where it's only the government communicating, that's a problem, right? Because they're only communicating certain aspects of an identity. So I would say if you want to get to know a country, you've got to get to know as many citizens as you can from that country, and you've got to get as many different expressions of that country as possible in music, in film, in poetry, in art, you know, every sense. And, you know, governments can do their job as well. Why not? Companies as well. I mean, USA, you've got the Coca-Colas, you've got the Starbucks, you've got Hollywood, fine. But let's really complement that with the firefighters, the high school teachers, the artists, and really citizens from every walk of life. So that's the point.
Absolutely.
I want to make. Citizens have a huge responsibility,
yeah.
And especially artists, because, you know, what better communicators are there than artists? That's their gift. That's their passion. So really important.
Wonderful. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And it caused me to think, how can artists kind of bridge, how is ICD, because this is something that you guys are working on, how are you bridging the two together through ICD?
Any way we can. I mean, there are very often, if we're looking at, let's say, a nation branding campaign for a country, you know, where a country is trying to really build bridges with other parts of the world, we always tell them you have to have a holistic picture. Nation branding in the past was about basically a country buying an advertising spot. I don't know if in the USA it was this present, but I know in Europe it was. Dubai, for example, from the United Arab Emirates, spent a lot of money in advertising the last years on, you know, CNN, this, that, and the other thing, and it actually worked.
Right.
And actually Dubai really established itself as a center for trade. That would be one aspect. Croatia, the same thing. Croatia spent a lot of money on an advent campaign for tourism. It worked. But again, are you really going to build trust through an ad campaign? Are you really going to build understanding? Probably not. And I think that's where we say the artists can play a really, really big role. So whenever we do initiatives like that, trying to build bridges with countries, the cultural component is a really important part. You need the economic bridges. You need the cultural bridges. It's all interconnected. Tourism, investment, etc. And our thesis is that if you leave out the culture, you're not going to fully understand that the situation you're going into. And by default, that bridge will not be as strong, meaning less money if your goal is business or investment, meaning less tourists if your goal is tourists. And actually, in essence, you really can't achieve any of the initiatives that you have, in our opinion, unless you really bring in the cultural components. So that would be one example where we try to really strengthen relationships between countries. And you could argue it doesn't have to be country to country. It could be also two groups living on the same street in the same block. You know, unfortunately, so often you have discrimination, racism, you know, all kinds of issues, which really can be dealt with. You know, not always, but a lot of the times it's really about false realities. You know, the individuals don't fully understand the other situation. What are their fears? What are their concerns? What are their goals? What are their identities? So very often you can at least contribute even to local situations. So those would be a few examples from the local level or the international level.
Now, back to ICD's main role, and you touched upon it briefly, the Academy of Culture Diplomacy, with educational opportunities to earn a degree in culture diplomacy. I see that you've opened up a newer section on global entrepreneurship, which is another personal passion of mine. Can you speak on that?
Sure. I mean, there, really briefly, what we are looking for there is drivers instead of passengers. We found a lot of really talented passengers in the world, but I mean that it's really much fewer people who actually are a driver in that sense, who are really moving it, who have initiative, who are entrepreneurs, who are innovative, have new ideas. They're not afraid to think different. And those are the individuals we really think that are the most important, especially as one looks in terms of leadership. You know, really those individuals who really understand to lead is to serve, and actually the best servant of a country, of a company, etc. Those are actually the best leaders. So that's why with the entrepreneurship program, we're really looking for those drivers. They're the ones we feel they have the passion, they have the courage, they have the dedication, and they have the skills to really have an impact, whether it's making the life of one person, you know, easier or many more people. And I think their driver for us can be in the cultural sense, economic sense, or political sense. So those are the kinds of individuals we're really trying to get with a program like that.
Now, how can someone get involved in that? Is that only in-house or online?
Of course, anyone can apply. And I think one of the biggest challenges of ICD is that actually we have people coming from all over the world. So it's really hard for us. How do we communicate? That was why I was so honored by your invitation today for this interview. I hope we can really reach individuals who maybe we couldn't reach through the normal email network or the website, et cetera. So to answer your question,
right,
everyone can participate. Everyone is welcome. And you know, beyond that, we're always looking. I know there's so many individuals, most of the individuals in the world have never heard of ICD, have never heard of us. So that's why it's really
right,
important to reach out. So it's open for everyone, every walk of life, every country, every ethnicity, every background, every discipline. And I'm grateful to say up until now, it actually has worked. We've gotten every continent of the world. I mean, typically in our classrooms, every student comes from a different country. And it's really fun. It's really interesting to actually be in an environment like that. Then it's easier also to get a fuller picture. So that's one of the things we're proud of and also we're grateful of. And it's also something we really try for every day. We're never satisfied. It's never diverse enough. So we're always trying to see how we can mix it up more.
And if you do want to get engaged in the actual program, you just go ahead and log on to culturaldiplomacy.org and get more information on how you can sign up and actually
yes,
engage in that type of degree, which is awesome.
Definitely.
Now, for me here in the U.S., you know, since this is a passion of mine, how can I band together a group of U.S. cultural diplomats?
Well, one of the things I wanted to invite to you and to everyone listening is come to us with initiatives. We can theoretically do an event or an initiative anywhere in the world. The one requirement that we have and that I insist on is we need a local partner. Something that seems like a great idea in Berlin may be a terrible idea in Detroit, or maybe a terrible idea in New Orleans. That's why we always say to ourselves, we need a local partner. You know, ideally, that local partner will come to us and say, hey, this is what we want, this is what we need, this is actually what would be helpful. And together with a local partner, it's much easier. So that would be the requirement, but also my invitation. If you or anyone listening has an initiative, let us know. Very simple, tell us three things. What is the initiative? What do you have? What do you need? And I'm not going to promise I can give what you need, but we'll try. And that's where we really work together and say, okay, you know, what's the missing link? Maybe through ICD's network, ICD's resources, et cetera, we can assist and actually make it easier for that initiative to take place. So that's a simple way of how we can really do great things. And I always say, let's try, start with small things. You know, sometimes if we want to save the world, it'll be a huge initiative.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's take something really specific in one area, in one neighborhood, in one state, and try to make a positive impact. So that would be a great way for, as you're saying, to band together artists or really to contribute. And if we can band together artists, it's even easier, right? The more partners, usually the easier. Everyone can bring a different expertise, a different resource. So that's something we really would like to do, especially me as an American. I've been 15 years living on the other side of the ocean, and we definitely would like to get more involved in the U.S. And unfortunately, I think the need is growing. One doesn't have to look far in the media to be reminded, I think, of many challenges between different cultures within the U.S. So I would also personally be very interested to try to have a positive impact there.
Absolutely, and we would love that. And like you said, it is much needed. We're being disseminated everywhere that respecting cultural differences. And the last time I had a show on this, we were saying that a lot of groups are actually being diluted, like they're losing their culture within other countries because they have to. You know, they have to assimilate, and there is really a loss of history. There's so many dynamics that's lost within a person when they cannot engage into their culture. So that's why I'm very glad to hear that there is a program, an institute, just like this. So, okay, what can we expect in the near future from ICD, and how can we stay connected?
Well, as you said, the website, of course, is the best. We're very active. One of the things we make a point, everything we do, we record. So you can actually, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see almost everything, every lecture, every event, et cetera. All is public. We try to make it accessible. For me, the groups we bring together are, of course, really small. Even if it's a bigger event, let's say 300, 500 people, the goal for us, target audience, is the world. So therefore, definitely, you know, interact with us with Facebook, et cetera. We are actually coming to the U.S. in a few weeks. We have a big event coming up in New York, actually parallel to the 70th anniversary of the U.N., so that's something, again, for those who are listening who can access New York, that would be one thing where we actually will be there for the whole week, 21st until the 26th of September. And beyond that, I think the website is the easiest. And then also, if there are any ideas or proposals out there, please send us. The email address that reaches me and my colleagues is just info@culturaldiplomacy.org, like the website.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Donford, for taking the time to during dinner to speak to us about this. This is such an important topic, and there are some dynamic artists, cultural diplomats out there. If you're listening, you know, show your face so that more initiatives can come out and we can come together and show off our soft power and make some really, really great changes. So thank you again for being on the show. We so appreciate you. You have a good rest of the evening.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation, and I hope we have a chance to meet in person at some point and ideally to develop collaboration.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't wait to do that. All right.
Excellent.
Thank you guys for listening. That's all we have for today. And we had a great topic about soft power, cultural diplomacy, and embracing that. And I tell you, every week we have great leaders that are doing some majestic things out there, and you can partner with them. As Mr. Donfried said, partner with them, get your ideas out there, and showcase your talent. Don't hide your talent. And, you know, I always say this at the end of the show, always be yourself and be regal. Have a great day, everyone.